1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1, And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege that we have to be together again in God's house and worship you and gather around the Word of God. I ask you, Lord, to help us that we'd be able to speak the mind of the Lord tonight and be able to help this congregation from your Word. I pray, Lord, that you'd meet needs in this house through your Word tonight. Lord, encourage every soul here. We'll give you the praise and honor for your help, Father, in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach to you tonight for a few minutes on when life is more bitter than death. In my text, we have one of the great prophets, in fact, maybe one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah. And in the New Testament, when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, it is Elijah who is there with him on the Mount, Elijah and Moses. Elijah representing the prophets of the Old Testament, Moses representing the law of the Old Testament. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets. He wasn't one of the writing prophets, but he was one of God's prophets in the Old Testament. And Elijah has been a man standing in the way of the apostasy of Israel. He appears on the scene suddenly, going before Ahab, the king, and announcing to him that there will not be rain on this land until you hear from me. And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. And Ahab sent throughout Israel looking for this man, Elijah. Sent into neighboring countries and had them to certify that they hadn't seen him nor didn't know where he was at. They was looking for this man Elijah. And finally Elijah appeared to Ahab and challenged Israel to come to Mount Carmel. And that Mount Carmel, Elijah said to Israel, How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. And if Baal be God, serve him. But the God that answers by fire will let him be God. And so on Mount Carmel they had a contest. The prophets of Baal spent the greater part of the day crying out to Baal for Baal to answer their prayer, consume their sacrifice. And Baal never answered. But about the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord, laid the bullock on the altar, got him to pour 12 barrels of water over the sacrifice, said a 63-word prayer, and the fire fell out of heaven, consumed the sacrifice and the altar, licked up the water in the trench about the altar. Israel fell on their faces crying, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And on that day, Elijah executed the prophets of Baal. When word came back to Jezebel, who had been promoting the worship of Baal, in Israel. She sent word to Elijah, as you have done to my prophets, I'm going to do the same thing to you. You'd have thought this great man of God, who God had used in such wonderful ways, shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. You'd have thought he'd have been a man of great courage, and Jezebel wouldn't have shaken him at all. But you know, when you read in the New Testament tells us in the book of James that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. He wasn't some great superman. He was a man of like passions as we are. And he fell into depression when he heard the news from Jezebel, and I'm after you, and I'm going to kill you just like you killed my prophets. Elijah went into a state of depression. And the Bible says that he fled from the face of Jezebel. There was fear in this man's heart. Have you ever been there where there was fear in your heart? There was fear in this man, this great man of God. Fear in his heart. And he fled from Jezebel. Fled for fear. Not only did he flee from Jezebel, but this great man of God prayed to God to let him die. He said in my text tonight, he requested for himself that he might die. Sat down under that juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. I don't think that Elijah was contemplating suicide, but he was asking God to take him home. Lord, I'm ready to go home. I want you to take me out of this trouble. Let me die, Lord. And complained of his aloneness. Lord, I'm the only one. He felt like that he was the only one in all of Israel that had not bowed the knee to Baal. You know, when a man becomes depressed, when the devil is oppressing the man of God, the woman of God, things always seem a whole lot worse than what they really are. As in this depressed state, Elijah felt like, I am the only one in all of Israel who has not bowed the knee to Baal. You know, depression is not uncommon in the Bible. Men in the Bible, great men of God in the Bible, became depressed. We read about Moses. Moses could hardly bear the burden of the people of God, begged God to take him. Job, who was afflicted from head to foot and lost everything he had, pleaded with God to die. Jeremiah, who prophesied to Israel in a time of apostasy, and nobody would listen to the man of God. For 40 years, this man preached to Judah, holding up warning signs, as it were, pleading with Judah to turn from their sins, and nobody would listen. And Jeremiah pleaded to die. Great men of God have been depressed by the circumstances of life. They have been in emotional and mental agony. And sometimes even you and I fall into times of depression. And I believe that sometimes we don't even recognize that that's what's happened to us. I have known good people who fell into a state of depression. And I don't think they realized what was going on in their life. Brother, it seems like that the sun was hidden from view in their life day by day, week after week, and month after month. Sometimes it's caused by different things in our life. Sometimes it's due to chronic health problems when we cannot seem to get well. And our sicknesses and illnesses and pain continues day after day and week after week and month after month. And chronic sickness and chronic health problems can cause people to slip into a state of depression and to lose hope that things will ever be any better than what they are right now. Sometimes it's guilt over sinful activity in our lives. I'm telling you, brother, that when we have disobeyed God, when we've allowed things in our heart and life, and God reproves us, and God checks us, and we will not repent, we will not confess, we will not get rid of the guilt, that guilt will bring a cloud of depression in your life when you deal with it day after day. Unnecessarily dealing with the guilt in your life, it will bring about a state of depression. Sometimes people go into a state of depression when they are grieving over loved ones that have passed from this life. And time doesn't seem to bring any relief from the pain in their hearts. And they slip into a state of depression. Sometimes it is loneliness. People who live alone. And sometimes it's not just people who live alone, but it is a state of mind, state of heart, where, you know, you can be in the midst of a whole company of people and feel loneliness in your heart. Just can't seem to connect with the people around you, and you feel very alone. Loneliness is something that brings on a state of depression in our life. When we have multiplied failed hopes and dreams in our life, we fail to reach our goals in life. We fail to succeed what was important for us to succeed. Maybe in our families, or maybe on our jobs, or maybe in the church work, or somewhere we had these goals and these dreams, and we never could quite reach them, and we come to a place where we feel like that they're completely out of reach now, and we've reached a point to where we'll never succeed like we thought we should, and our hearts are broken, and we go into a state of depression. Depression happens to people when relationships in their life go sour. Relationships that are important to them. Relationships in the family. Relationships between parents and children. Between husbands and wives. Relationships between not only family members, but people who are significant in our lives. Grandparents or grandchildren or just somebody in life. Relationships are broken or strained, and our life becomes afflicted with depression. And then there is sometimes that we overload ourselves in life. You know, I saw a sign one time. It said, somebody said that we'd never die until our work was done. And this man said, "I'm so far behind now that it'll be a long time before I die." Praise God. Well, sometimes we overload ourselves. We get too big a load. Now, I want you to understand, God don't ever overload us. But we overload ourselves sometimes. We get involved in too much. We get too much responsibility, too many things on us. Sometimes I wonder if I do that. But you know, you can do that, and you realize, hey, it's too much for me. I can't get my head above the water. I can't seem to overcome. I can't seem to handle all of the responsibility. There's too much pressure. People get burned out because they have so much responsibility upon them, and there's a state of depression that enters into their life because they are overloaded in life. And I'm sure that many of you out there can relate to that, and you've probably been through some of this where your life was overloaded and you could not seem to get everything done, and it became a depressing state of affairs. And people, when they slip into this state of depression, you know, it brings about worthless feelings in our life. We feel like that we're just not worth anything to anybody. That we're just a failure, and that we're no good to anybody. And we get these worthless feelings, and the devil oppresses us with that and makes us feel like that we're nothing but a failure and worthless to nobody. Sometimes we depression brings on a hopeless feeling that there'll never be a better day than what this day is. I'll never get out of this state of despair. I'll never climb out of this valley that I'm in. And the devil uses these feelings to destroy us, to bring us to despair, causes us to have this pessimistic outlook on life, and all we can see is the dark side of things. And anybody that talks about the bright side, we immediately bring up the negative side, and we can't hardly handle good news because our life is lived in this darkness and in this valley, and we can't hardly handle good news because to us life is just dark and dim and hopeless, and fears and doubts attack our mind and our heart in this valley of depression. But I'm telling you that depression is not conducive to spiritual well-being. And it wasn't for this man Elijah as well. But I'm glad God had a plan to bring him out of that. Hallelujah. And as Elijah's fleeing for fear of his life, this great man of God, I'm telling you, he's a great man of God. But oh, he's afraid. He's running for his life. Sits down under the juniper tree, goes to sleep, and an angel of God comes and wakes him up. And he lets Elijah know, heaven has not forgotten you, Elijah. And I'm here on a mission to serve you. And he woke him up and gave him a meal. Hallelujah. And Elijah went back to sleep, and the angel came and woke him up again. He said, Elijah, I got another meal for you. He ate that manna from on high. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, brother, when the devil has oppressed us, when the dark clouds are hanging low, when the valley's so deep the sun can't get in, I'll tell you what to do. Go to the Word of God. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And hallelujah. My boy, Kyle went through, most of y'all probably know, Kyle went through a period of having these panic attacks and so forth. And sometimes he'd call us in the middle of the night, and he'd say, Daddy, I'm a dying. I know I'm a dying. And I'd talk to him and quote scripture to him and pray with him. And after a while, that spirit would lift, and he'd go on to sleep. And it seemed like he'd get some help for a little while. And this depression would settle back in over time, over and over and over again. We just kept directing him to the Word of God. And hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Sister Laurie went through a terrible time. And I remember praying for her over here on this second pew one night. And felt impressed of God to tell her that the Word of God's going to heal your mind. If you'll give attention to the Word of God, if you'll memorize the Scriptures, if you'll stay in the Word of God's going to heal your mind. I'm telling you, there's power in the Word of God, brother. If you'll feed on the Word of God, there's power in the Word of God. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God has a meal for you in that valley of despair. When you're so low in the valley, the sun can't get in. God has a meal for you. He'll minister to you out of the Word of God. So God sent a meal, two meals, to this man of God. The Bible says he went on the strength of this meal for 40 days. I'm telling you, brother, God knows how to give us the strength we need for the journey. We don't know what we need, but God knows what we need. He knows what we need for the journey. He knows what's ahead of us. He knows how difficult the journey will be. And God has exactly what we need for the journey ahead of us. And he gave Elijah what he needed for the journey. He said, the journey, get up and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And then Elijah went on down to Horeb, the man of God, came to a cave and lodged in that cave. And the Lord spoke to him there and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He told the Lord, "I've been jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Children of Israel, forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, slain your prophets, and I'm the only one left. They seek my life to take it away." And God said, "I want you to go forth, and I want you to stand upon the mount before the Lord." And Elijah went forth and stood in the mount and listened and waited on God. And as he stood there, there was a powerful wind swept through the mountain. The Bible says God was not in the wind. While he stood there, there was an earthquake that shook the mountain, and God was not in the earthquake. And Elijah's waiting on the Lord. The Lord said, "You go, you stand here before the Lord." He's waiting on the Lord. The wind, the earthquake, and a fire sweeps through the mountain, and God is not in the fire. Brother, I'm telling you, I think Elijah was probably wondering by now, if God wasn't in the wind, and God wasn't in the earthquake, and God wasn't in the fire, where is the Lord? Sometimes when we're waiting on God, y'all listening to me? Sometimes when we're waiting on God, we'll begin to wonder, where is the Lord? Seems like God takes so long to come when we need Him the most. But I'm telling you, God's the slowest person you've ever seen to never be late. Always on time. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hey, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, God knows where you're at tonight. Every soul in this place, God knows where you're at. And He knows what you need, and He'll never come too late in your circumstance of life. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Psalm 27, 13 and 14, "I had fainted," David said, "unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give up. God is going to come. Hold on, brother and sister. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Wait on God. Be patient with God. He's coming. I'm telling you, He's coming. He's on the way. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I know what it is to wait on God. It seems like you can't seem to get through to Him. As a young man, tormented by doubts, fears in my soul, spending day after day, or every day going to the well house behind our house in Georgia, just a teenage boy, praying, seeking the face of God, spiritually, hanging in the balances, devil trying to kill me spiritually. I'm telling you, God willed that I live. And after weeks of prayer, seeking the face of God every day, staying in that Bible, in the Word of God, I'm telling you, the heavens opened up. They'd been brass to me for a long time, but the heavens opened up. God came through, settled my doubts and fears. Hallelujah. Gave me the confidence I needed to go on with God. The devil thought he'd kill me, but God willed that I live. And I'm telling you, brother, God wills that you live. You hear me? I said God wills that you live. And God will come through. in your time of distress. Wait on the Lord. I'm telling you that Elijah here, waiting on God, not hearing from God in the wind and the earthquake and in the fire. But after all of that was over with, God spoke in a still, small voice. And essentially, I'm going to tell you what he said. He said to Elijah, "Elijah, I'm not going to take you home now. I know you've asked to, but I'm not going to take you home. And the reason I'm not going to take you home is because I got something for you to do. I've got more for you to do. I'm not through with you yet." And so God spoke to him and told him three things that he was to do. He was to anoint Hazael king over Israel. He was to anoint, Hazael maybe king over Syria. And he was to anoint Jehu king over Israel. And he was to anoint Elisha to be prophet in his room. "You're not through yet, Elijah. Praise God. I got some more for you to do. And brother, I'm telling you, God is not through with you yet. You may think it's all over with, but God's not through with you yet. And there's something more you've got to do for Jesus. And Jesus is going to help you to come through this. You're coming out of this valley because God's not through with you yet. There's something else for you to do. God has got something else for you to do. There's a task for you. There's a job for you. Jesus needs you." Hallelujah. He's not through with you yet. He renewed the commission of the man of God. And he changed his outlook. He told Elijah in verse 18, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, in every mouth which hath not kissed him." Elijah said, "I'm the only one." God said, "You're not. You're just seeing a small part of the picture." And this is the problem with us. My wife taught this lesson in Sunday school this morning for our young people. You know, sometimes all we see is just a small part of the puzzle. Our hearts are depressed and in despair because we don't see the whole story. Joseph went down to Egypt. Joseph went down into the dungeon. He didn't know what God was going to do. But I'm telling you, brother, when we can't see the whole picture, God's got the whole picture in mind. And He's going to bring His plans to fruition in our life if we'll just trust Him and wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. He let Elijah know things are not as bad as you think they are. Hallelujah. I got 7,000 people who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You're not seeing the whole picture. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Now, this is what I'm asking God to do for us tonight. Lord, give us a broader vision of your plans and purposes. Help us to see beyond this valley we're in. Help us, Lord, to understand the sun's still shining on the other side of that dark cloud. And this valley is not the end of the story. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. Praise God. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. I want to sing that song. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Listen to me. Mothers, I know we've got some devoted mothers in this place. Mothers who have poured their lives into their children. Mothers who have sacrificed, done everything they knew to do to try to save their children. I'll tell you something. There's some promises in the Word of God. Precious promises in the Word of God. About that woman in Proverbs chapter 31, that virtuous woman. It said, "She shall rejoice in time to come." She shall rejoice in time to come. I know the burden's heavy now. I know that the devil seeks to oppress us, the responsibilities, the sense of failure at times, all of these things that come to us. And the devil tries to oppress us. But don't forget the promises of God. Don't forget the promises of God. Don't forget the promises of God. She shall rejoice in time to come. Plow through this valley. Dig a well where you're at. Seek the face of God. God will give you springing water in the valley. He'll give you a meal in your darkest hour. And strength for the journey. And we'll make it because God's for us. He's got everything we need. I want us to stand together. I feel His presence here, folks. I feel like the Lord wants to help and encourage us tonight. Give us a meal right here. You know, you may be in that deep, dark valley, but the Lord will give you a meal right here in this service tonight. Praise the Lord.